believe it's been a very powerful move of God, and it's definitely a word from God that we should seek his glory and not our own glory. Amen. We should seek his glory and not other things, other people, but we should seek his glory. Amen. Seek him for who he is, the best of him. Amen. And I want to use for a thought and a topic this morning, guided by the glory. Guided by the glory. Amen. The book of Exodus, it is in its meaning, it means the departure. It means the departure in which the children of Israel, who had been enslaved by the Egyptians and Pharaoh, that they were departed in this book. Amen. They departed from their enslavement. Amen. Egypt is a representation of the world. Pharaoh, the name Pharaoh, actually means government. Isn't that coincidental that it means government? Amen. The government, and Pharaoh was in itself a god. Amen. And so they were delivered from the government of the enslavement of the world that they had been in for 400 years. Amen. And so God raised up this young man named Moses, who one day, minding his own business, had, you know, he had been raised in the house of Pharaoh, but he decided that he had no part of that. And he was in the desert tending sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro. And he saw a bush burning. And when he saw the bush burning, he approached it. But what got his attention was that the bush was on fire, but it not being consumed. Amen. That's another message in itself. But he approached and God spoke to him from the burning bush and told him that he wanted to deliver his people. And they came out. And on last week, we talked about how Moses had went up and talked with God and how God blessed Moses. Amen. And Moses' face shone with the glory of God when he came out of the presence of God. Amen. But now here we are in chapter 40, and we're talking again about the glory of God, by the way, which is mentioned. This is a great, it's an awesome study when you study the glory of God. It's mentioned 400 times. The glory of God is. Amen. And in this 40th chapter, it's another picture of Christ. Amen. In the Old Testament, because so many times we see, we read and we don't really read with the understanding. You need to know that Christ, the picture of Christ, is displayed throughout the entire Bible, even in the Old Testament. Amen. The Bible lets us know that the Old Testament is a shadow of things that was to come. And so if you see a shadow, that means that they had a bit of light that caused them to be able to see the shadow or the silhouette of what God was intending to reveal in the New Testament. So that when Jesus came, he said, I'm the light. I come to reveal everything that was in the shadow. I came so that you can see it clearly. Come on and say amen. And so here it is in the Old Testament, in the 40th chapter, we find the first thing that God tells Moses is that on the first day of the first year, I want you to put the tabernacle up. Amen. So the first thing that God says to Moses is to set up the tabernacle. Amen. Set up the dwelling place. Amen. We got to see that this is important, and I'm going to be comparing this tabernacle to Jesus Christ to show you how it is a picture of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. The first thing God says to Moses, he said, the first day of the first year, meaning the year as the second year after you were delivered out of Egypt, he said, I want you to set up this tabernacle. Now, they had did a lot of work. They had made up some collections. Amen. They had took up some money and then gold or some pieces of silver and things like that so that they can construct things the way that God had given them to construct it. Amen. The first thing that God did is tell him to do it in a certain order. Now, we always say God's favorite thing is praise, but I beg to differ this morning. God's favorite thing is order. He wants things to be in order first before you can come even into the tabernacle to praise me. Amen. I want things to be in order first, and when things are in order, amen, then my presence will abide. Amen. Look at this. He says in verse 18, let me show you how God just is lying there, but we don't get to look at it right sometime. But look at verse 18 in chapter number 40. I want to show you how this is a picture of Christ. And look how the scripture refers to the tabernacle, which was just, in our sense, just the tent. But it was more than just the tent. Look at this. And Moses reared up the tabernacle. Look at this. And fastened his sockets. His sockets. Look at this. He said, and set up the boards thereof and put in the bars thereof and reared up his pillars. His. Now, the scripture is referring to the tabernacle as a his. A man. Had you seen that before? Well, God is referring to the tabernacle as a man, as a, or his, a male. Can I say that? Amen. And so he's telling Moses, he says, Moses, I want you to put up the tabernacle. And so all of these things that when he put up the tabernacle, the Bible says that Moses began to put things in the house or in the tabernacle as God commanded. And so he began to put in things like the Ark of the Testimony, or Ark of the Covenant. In other words, that was the box that was overlaid with gold that represented the presence of God. Now, the first thing that God did was when Jesus came, he allowed the entire presence of God. Jesus had he was the fullness of the Godhead was in him. The entire presence of God was in that tabernacle before it was anywhere else. That's why when Jesus was on the scene, you don't find anybody else prophesying. You don't find anybody else. That was 400 years of silence. No move of God anywhere until Jesus showed up. The presence of God, the tabernacle of God. And the scripture even says that he came and abode with us. He tabernacled with us. Come on and say amen. The scripture says that they brought in the ark and they covered it with a veil so that they couldn't see the divine glory of God, the gold that it was overlaid with. They couldn't see it, amen? So they covered it up. They veiled it. But then we get to go behind the veil, and we get to see who God really is in the person of Jesus Christ. Can I preach like that today? And so he says, now Moses brought in not only that, but he brought in a table, and he put the table there, and he put the shewbread. Now you have the presence of God, and you got the bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So all of this is in the tabernacle, and this is all a picture and pointing toward Jesus Christ. He put the table in there, the shewbread in there, and then he brought candlestick or the lamp. He said, light the lamp across from it so that you'll be able to see something. Amen. Because there was no light in there, so that you'll be able to see what the bread looked like, amen, and so that you wouldn't walk in a dark place. And so he says, now he says, not only that, but bring the incense before the ark of the testimony, and then put a hanging door there. And so he says, now bring in the incense. What that means is that is a picture of Jesus Christ, the mediator. The incense is what we call intercession, amen. Whereas these prayers and intercessions are made to God. And so we have a mediator with God in the person of Jesus Christ. He make intercession for us. I wish I had somebody. The Bible said that he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for all of the saints according to God's will for us. Amen? And so that means that there's another picture of Jesus Christ. If I can, I'm going to try to move a little faster here. He says, and they hung a door. Now, guess what? There was only one door going into that tabernacle. Now, there's only one door. Jesus said, I am the what? Door. Come on and say amen, y'all. And he said, I am the door. And so in the tabernacle, there was one door. And so Jesus is the what? Door. All of this is pointing to Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, we need to understand that Moses, when he constructed it, and he says, and he put it together, he put his sockets and his pillars where they were supposed to be. I wish I had somebody to help me here. He said, and then he said, thou shalt have an altar of burnt offerings at the door of the tabernacle and in the tent of the congregation, and you'll set a laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar. In other words, he said, put the laver there, and put water there. And so when they come in, the first thing they'll see is an altar, and they must sacrifice. And so what was the altar? The altar is the cross. In order for you to get in this place with God, you got to come to the altar of sacrifice where something has to die. The cross. Jesus died upon the cross. And then you go a little further, and then there's water. That's when they pierced Jesus in the side. There was water and blood. I wish I had somebody. Whenever they would have a ceremony at the tabernacle, there was water and there was blood from the sacrifice. And the water was for the washing. Come on and say, man. Moses and Aaron and his sons, they would wash their hands and their feet so that they would be clean when they go further into the tabernacle of the Lord. In order for us to go further in God, we must first become clean with the water of the Word of God. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 15, he said, you are clean by the word that I speak. Can I preach to you like that this morning? And so when we look at those things and we see that all of this is in the congregation or in the tabernacle of God, we find out, look at this, and he says in verse 9, and thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle. Now, here's a tabernacle, but you're going to take oil and anoint the tabernacle. Now, the Bible says that Jesus, he spoke in Luke chapter 4. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me. I wish I had somebody. Then we find that there was a lady named Mary that came in from behind before Jesus died, and she anointed him. I wish I had help today. And so this was the tabernacle being anointed for the day that he was supposed to be glorified. I wish I had help. He says, and they anoint the tabernacle and all therein, and shall hallow it and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. Amen. And so when we look at all these things that we see that Moses did, and the Bible says that Moses did them, and he did them in obedience to God. First thing first, we got to get things in order in our life. We have to get some things in order. We have to put God as priority number one. If you want the glory of God to guide your life, you must first put him first in your life. You must put everything else second, third, fourth, and fifth, but God is number one. Anybody here believe that? If God can't be number one, he will be none. Come on and say amen. If God ain't Lord of your life, he won't be Lord of your life. I wish I had somebody. You got to make sure that God is number one in your life. He's not going to be second. He's not going to be third. And God is not like Stevie Wonder. He don't want a part-time lover. God wants you to know that he wants to marry you. He wants you to be a spouse to him. He says here that and Moses did everything according to as God commanded him. Verse 16 says, so he did. Now, the thing I love about this is that first Moses did things and put things in order. And the reason why God used Moses and chose Moses is because Moses was obedient. Moses did exactly what God wanted done. He couldn't trust Aaron because he knew Aaron would fare or he would side with what the people may want. Because one day the people wanted a molten calf, and Aaron said, well, I'll build you one. Just bring me your gold and your earrings. Oh, yeah, come on and say amen. God knew that Moses, he anticipated the faithfulness of Moses, because Moses had left Pharaoh's house with all the riches and all the luxuries of life and decided, I don't want no more of that. I just rather herd some sheep in the wilderness for my father-in-law. And guess what? He was faithful doing that. When you're faithful over a few things, God will make you ruler over many. Do I have anybody here that received that word today? You got to understand, God took Moses, who had all that he wanted in Pharaoh's house, and God moved him out of there, amen, and had him in the backside of a desert, not bothering anybody, but God looked in the backside of the desert and saw his faithfulness. What I'm trying to tell you is that people may not see your faithfulness. Oh, come on and say amen. You may be in a place where it looks like nobody notice how you are. Nobody notices that you're doing the right things. And that's the good thing about it. If nobody else sees it, God sees it. Oh yeah, his eye sees everything. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth, seeking one that he can prove himself strong to. God sits high and he looks low. He knows what's going on in the earth. Amen. And so when we look at this, we got to understand that God used Moses because Moses was obedient. Moses wanted to do whatever it took to please God, and he took down notes, and he said, I'm going to do this according to as God commands me. Oh, yeah, and since Moses did things the way God wanted it done, God said, Moses, I think I can talk to you face to face. I think that I can be your friend now. Come on and say amen. And so he said, Moses, I'm going to make you like a God, and Aaron would be just like your prophet. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, God wants some people to be like a God. In other words, he wants you to be a child of God. Oh, come on and say amen. And you know what? When I look at Moses' life, his life wasn't all that great because he had his brother and sister who hated on him because of who he married. Oh, come on and say amen. He had people, when he tried to help them, they turned their back on him and said, you're going to do me like you did the Egyptian and you buried him in the sand. I'll tell it all on you. Come on and say amen. You know how it is. You got them people that you tried to help, and then while you trying to help them, they trying to hurt you. Moses could have given up. But thanks be to God that he had an obedient spirit. He said, I'm not trying to bother anybody, but God, if I have to go, I'll go ahead and go. He made up a few excuses, and every time God gave him an answer, he said, I'm going to go ahead and go now, Lord. Come on and say amen. And so Moses was obedient, and he reared up the tabernacle in the middle of the wilderness. Come on and say hallelujah. And he took the testimony of the ark. He put all these things, and he covered it up and put it all inside of the tabernacle, just as God said, and he was obedient. And then in verse number 33, it says, and he reared up the court around about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. That's what I like about Moses. Moses did it like God said it, and he didn't leave it undone. He finished the work. He endured until it was all done. I wish I had somebody. He put up a courtyard with a gate on it. And then Psalm 100, they wrote the psalm that said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and what? Bless his name. Moses did everything the way God wanted it done, and he didn't leave not one thing undone, because the scripture says, and he finished the work. I wish I had somebody. Now, there's a man. Let me kind of take a little sidebar and tell you about this man, Bezalel. He was the man that built the Ark of the Covenant. He built that ark, and he saw it the last day, and he never saw it again after it left his presence. Now, we got some things that we got to build, and you know what? Sometimes we may never see the glory of it. Oh, Lord, help me. You got to build some people, and you may not see the glory of what God is doing in their life, but you, by God, need to build them up. You got to build some children, and you may not live to see what God is going to do in their life, but by God, you build them up. I wish I had somebody. There may be some church stuff that you need to do, and you may not live out to see the glory of it, or maybe it'll be hidden from you, but God may have you doing that because he's going to use it the way that he wants to. God used that ark to represent his presence. That's where he rested, on the mercy seat. I wish I had somebody. And Bezalel didn't know that that's what God was going to do with it. He just had orders to build a box. And see, sometimes we need to just build what God say build, and don't worry about what is going to be done with it. Don't worry about how it's going to be handled, because God has a plan for it. And just let it be and say, God, I did it for you. I'm not trying to hold on to it. I'm not going to check on it to see if it's like I want it to be. But God, whatever you want to do, do it right now. Oh, come on and say amen. I wish I had some Bezalels in this house, because then you'll have people that say, I don't care what goes on. I just want God to get the glory. I want God to be present. I want God to rest on this thing. If some things that we do, we need to say, God, I just want your presence to be here with us. Oh, yeah. Come on and say amen. And then verse 34, look at this. And the cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. We got to see something here. God's glory and his cloud of glory didn't come to the tabernacle till the work was done. We got a work to do. Come on and say amen. And God's glory will be revealed, and it will come to the tabernacle, to your tabernacle, this tabernacle, amen, when the work is being done. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now look at this. Now you would think that Moses, he'd been in the glory of God before. You would think that Moses, the one that went on the mountaintop and got the Ten Commandments, could go in the presence of God. The obedient Moses could go in the presence of God. But no, not this time. Even Moses, with all his obedience, even Moses, with him being able to shine like God when he came off the mountaintop, he was not worthy to even go in the presence of God in the tabernacle at that time, because God said, I'm here and can't no other glory come in here except my glory. And so even though Moses, the lawgiver, the greatest lawgiver that ever lived, he couldn't even go in the presence of God like he was. But I tell you what, I found out that it wasn't Moses. The reason why God didn't let Moses go in there, because we would be worshiping Moses now. We'll be lifting up Moses now. Come on and say amen. But there is one that went into the presence of God. Oh, come on. There was one that went to the mercy seat with the blood dripping from his hands. Oh, I wish I had somebody. See, not anybody can go in the presence of God. But Jesus said, I have to make a way for all of you to enter into the presence of God and not have to die to death. I wish I had somebody. And so when he did, Jesus, when he went to the place of the mercy seat, and he dripped the trail of blood that we ought to follow. Come on and say amen. All the way, and place the blood on the mercy seat and say, this is the ultimate sacrifice. There would not have to be another animal to die. Oh, come on and say amen. There have to be no more humans die. But I made a way for you. Come on and give God glory in here. He said, Moses, you couldn't enter into the congregation because of the cloud that abode over the tabernacle. We got to understand something. The glory cloud is the Shekinah glory of God. This is the same cloud that went with them when they were coming out of Egypt. It was the same cloud that stood between them and Pharaoh whenever they came through the Red Sea. It's the same cloud that stood over the mountaintop, and they heard thunders and lightnings, and they thought, all they said, this must be God speaking because of the thunderous booms that we hear. I wish I had somebody. This is the same cloud. I wish I had help here. That whenever it was nighttime, it would guide them, or it would hover over them like a pillar of fire, so they wouldn't be in total darkness, so that they would be comfortable enough to be able to rest assured that God was with them. Amen. When we look at this, the Bible says Moses was not able to go in verse 36. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward on their journey. Now, when I look at this, I understand that things ought to be in order. And then we ought to be obedient in order for God to overshadow us. If you want God to overshadow your life, and I'm almost done, you got to be in order and obedience with God. I wish I had help here. But the Bible says that when the cloud overshadowed the tabernacle, that the people came to attention. See, it's something about the glory of God. When God's glory rests upon somebody, people will pay attention. You're wondering why people are always looking at you? Well, it's because of the glory of God that's upon your life. You wondering why they always got to say something about you? Well, it's because they want to talk about the glory, although they don't know the true story. I wish I had help here. You got to look at the glory of God being upon the tabernacle. We are the tabernacle in which the glory rests upon now. There's no tabernacle in the wilderness unless you're in the wilderness. But guess what? God will overshadow you no matter where you are. If you're in the wilderness, he'll overshadow you. If you're on the mountaintop, he'll overshadow you. If you're trying to go through the green pastures, guess what David said? He'll lead you in green pastures and beside the still waters. Do I have any witnesses here that realize what I'm trying to tell you? That you have to be guided by the glory. And the scripture says that the cloud, when it was taken up from over the tabernacle, that's when the people say, okay, whatever we're doing, we're going to drop it and move. Some of us, we want to keep doing what we're doing and hope that God will wait on us. God is saying, I'm not waiting when my cloud, I'm not even giving you a warning, but when you see the cloud go up, you need to drop what you're doing and say, let's move now. Oh, come on and say amen. That's why he didn't give them suitcases in the wilderness. They didn't have to go back and pack. Whatever they had on grew with them. That's the glory of God. Their shoes didn't get too small for them. Their shoes didn't get too old for them. But God preserved not only them, but he preserved the clothes that they had on. Do I have any witnesses here that know that God will preserve you? Whatever's going on in your life, you don't need to try to think of what I'm going to put on tomorrow to try to make up to whatever I messed up today. Because God will make sure that what you got on today will get you through tomorrow. Do I have any witnesses here? I'm putting on the whole armor of God. I can wear that armor any day of the week. I can wear that armor through hell and high water. And I can come out on top, having done all to stand. I need to stand, having my loins girt about with truth, having my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having my helmet of salvation on, having my sword of the spirit, my breastplate of righteousness, and my shield of faith. Come on and say, man, wherewith I shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I'm dressed for the test. I don't know about you. Oh, come on and praise his name. And the Bible said, and the cloud, when it got up to move, the people said, oh, it's time to go. Oh, come on and say amen. I don't know about you, but when God start to move, I want to go with the cloud. I don't want to hang with the crowd. I'm going with, oh, come on and say amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't hang with the crowd. You need to move with the cloud. God is saying, I'm trying to move, and you paying attention to him. I'm trying to move, and you got her on your mind. I'm trying to move, and you thinking about money. I got you this far without money. You think I can't take you further? Oh, come on and say amen. You live this long without him or her. You think I can't keep you all this way? Do I have any witnesses here? They talked about you last year, so them talking about you this year is not going to make you no different. You just need to come on with me through the wilderness. I've been in the wilderness. Do I have any witnesses here? He said, I was here in the wilderness with you. I fed you manna from heaven. When you complained, you had no meat. I gave you flesh to eat. When you didn't have no water, I gave you water to drink. So stop your complaining and let's move. Oh, you need to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, say, oh, neighbor, stop your complaining and let's move. It's time for us to go now. We've been here long enough. He said, I've been trying to get you over to the promised land, but all you want to do is complain. I've been here with you for 38 years, and now I want you to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. You see, I love what God did. He said, let it be a tabernacle, mean a temporary place. In other words, we're not going to keep it like this always. Just like our bodies, it's a tabernacle. And I heard the word say, if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building that's not made with hands, that come from heaven above. Do I have any witnesses here that see where I'm going with this? And the Bible says, and the tabernacle moved, the cloud moved, and the children of Israel, they went onward in all their journeys. I need to go onward. I don't need to go backward, not to go sideward, but I need to go onward. And I'm remembering what Paul said. You see, they kept remembering Egypt, but I remember what Paul said. He said, this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I forget the lies they told. Forget who talked about me. Forget who backstabbed me. They in my past. If people keep living in your past, let them have your past. And you go on to the future. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high call. We all got a past. Yeah, I used to.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support. We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m.